Are you aware? Are you aware of being aware? And it doesn't matter what's past, because now, are you aware now? That's our whole practice, that's it. Can you hear okay? Yeah. A couple of different directions, but I wanted to riff some more on the inner tangle and the outer tangle. We're loving that. It's the verse that begins, that introduces the Visuddhimagga, which is a really long commentary. It's not the original Pali discourses of the Buddha. It was written in about 500 AD in Sri Lanka. And some people really like it and some don't, so I'm not saying anything about the quality, but it's really huge. And the poem is, as Mark said, you know, the inner tangle and the outer tangle. This generation is entangled in a tangle. And so I ask of Gotama this question, who can untangle this tangle? And then there's this whole book, right, this whole giant book, which goes through all the different practices. The path of purification is what it's called. So here's another description I've been loving lately, the last couple of years, that I think describes the tangle. This is from Thanissaro Bhikkhu. He's talking about samsara, right? So this is from Thanissaro. Samsara literally means wandering on. Many people think of it as the Buddhist name for the place where we currently live and the place we leave when we go to Nibbana. But in early Buddhist texts, samsara is not the answer to where are we. It's the answer to what are we doing. It's not a place. It's a process. The tendency to keep creating worlds and then moving into them. As one world falls apart, your mind creates another, and you go there. At the same time, you bump into other people who are creating their own worlds, too. Does that make sense? And you wonder why none of us know what's going on, creating all these worlds around. But you can see that on a moment-to-moment level. So untangling the tangle is finding a way to move out of this samsara-ing, not going somewhere else to Nibbana, but being here in a clearer way. So for Ajahn Sumedho, on the same theme, he's also talking about samsara. He says, samsara and Nibbana are not places to go, but modes of perception. And I love this, because to me this cuts to the heart of it. Modes of perception. Samsara is perception from or through personality belief, personality view. Or to just cut to the chase, it's from or through the view of me, 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 the center of everything. I don't know if you can relate to ever having experienced a moment like that. But so that's samsara-ing, the mode of perception. Remember, you don't have to remember, but I did mention a few nights ago that's how His Holiness the Dalai Lama and also Thich Nhat Hanh describe the source of our confusion and suffering as being misperception. And this is really the heart of the misperception, perceiving any particular experience of the six sense experiences that come and go as me or mine, or having any kind of perception in a moment. This is just moment to moment of me as a separate ongoing entity, right? This isn't something to think about. I mean, God knows we can think about it. But perception isn't something we think through. It's just suddenly you see in a different way, right? That's what insight is. You can't think our way into insight, but suddenly, boom, you see in a different way. That's what the power of continuous receptive awareness is. So back to who can untangle this tangle. The whole Visuddhimagga, but there's a shortcut. And guess what that shortcut is? Continuous, steady awareness, pure and simple. There's a book called Pure and Simple that's the teachings of a Thai laywoman from the last century, Upasika Ki. It's thick, but very, very powerful, very clear understanding. And she talks about unentangled knowing, right? And so it fits perfectly, right? Unentangled knowing is simply in a moment, the simple, complete awareness of what's happening just as it is, without adding anything extra. So this isn't any new information, correct? This power of this steady awareness as it begins to get momentum is, that's the condition for wisdom. And you could describe wisdom as accurate recognition. When something is recognized accurately, all the confusing responses, the greed, the hatred, the confusion, the stories of me, tend to drop away. It's not like you have to think your way out of them. So an example, Mark's story the other night about when he was in the bathroom, right, and the music started playing. That's great. That's a great story, and it's good to see these stories in our own experience, little ones, because it's exactly the same process as being in a big, really suffering, tormented story in our minds. But so seeing how samsara-ing works, how the mind creates a world and we enter into it. I mean, he didn't create that marble, beautiful urinal. That was already there. But he entered into it fully, like, wow, this is so amazing, right? So just seeing, you go in and the mind is already in some kind of, wow, this is amazing place, right? And then the whole thing that went on and the music and all the thoughts about it and what he told us later, he was thinking things like, wow, I wonder how much it costs for them to put in this sound system. It's so good and all that. So that's not an obviously suffering experience, right? But it's a world he entered into. And in the moment when, it wasn't like completely aware, clearly, but in the moment when he picked up his phone again and saw, oh, this is coming from my phone. If you don't add any extra, but all the other stuff just falls away. The amazing sound system, well, you don't think anymore about it because it's clearly there isn't an amazing sound system. How could, you know, all the wondering, all the amazement, it drops because it has nothing to do with reality. And that's a moment of wisdom. That's how wisdom functions. The confusion, when the misperception shifts and is recognized accurately, all the confused ideas and responses just fall away. So we don't have to somehow dig them all up and put them aside. For that moment, that's the thing. They don't fall away forever. But this unentangled knowing, this what we're doing here, I'm just saying all this to try and give us more and more faith, more and more sense of trust and confidence in this steadiness of awareness, because it so often doesn't seem like that much is happening. But with the continuity of awareness, which, as many of you are saying, you can feel that growing. Not having some idea you never space out, of course we do. But the more that there's confidence in awareness, which is a way that Ajahn Sumedho often talks. He talks about having and reminding himself to have confidence in awareness. What we mostly have confidence in is all our reactions of mind. You know, when something comes up that's difficult, the natural response, the habit of mind, it's not we plan it, is aversion, right? Unpleasant aversion. We've talked about that. And then how fast that leads to a whole world. I mean, this isn't new information, right? But awareness isn't aversive. It isn't me. It's just watching the whole process. It's not trying to stop it. But having confidence in the awareness, you know, it's that foreground-background shift. The whole thing goes on, but it's a completely different experience. There's no me in it when there's confidence in it. There's me in the story, but awareness isn't me. And it just is unfolding, and actually one feels more in it. You know, it's not like unfolding over there somewhere, la, 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 I don't have to really feel it because I'm aware. It's actually, there's no resistance anymore. Resistance is one of the effects of me resisting experience. When things are seen with continuity, this confidence and awareness, in a moment of awareness, as we've said, it's not feeding the greed or the aversion. It's not feeding the story, which is, the story is always fed by greed or aversion or the sense of me. And the sense of me, that's really the misperception that feeds greed and aversion anyway. It's rare. I want to say it couldn't be, but I wouldn't dare say that. But it's pretty rare, and I'd like you to tell me if you find an example where there's a lot of greed or aversion coming up in your mind, but there's no sense of me involved in it, you know. I don't think so. Even when we're angry about how someone else is being treated, when we're really angry in the aversion, not a sense of kindness, but just really, I'm angry, there's a way, it's about me. It's so, excuse me, so interesting. So when Ajahn Sumedho talks about having confidence in awareness, that's inspired me a lot, because he's like 85, I think, now. He's been practicing as a monk for, I don't know, 60 years, 50, 60 years. And what he talks about now all the time, I often listen to him online, is receptive awareness, intuitive awareness, he calls it. And that's absolutely just the trust every moment, the steadiness of intuitive awareness, unentangled knowing, to use Upasaka Ki's language. So it's not like that's new to him. But not so long ago, I was in a small group at some retreat he was teaching, and it was a group where he was talking about how he would have to, at times, take a firm stand, like a resolution in his mind, to have confidence in awareness. He was talking about a time at his monastery where there was really a lot of difficulty going on, really very difficult stuff. And he being the head of it, and some of his decisions were creating some of the difficulty, right? But anyway, being the head of it, all the stuff that was directed at him, you know, the blame and the anger and everything directed at him, and he's saying, my personality doesn't like that. You know, I really was like suffering and all this stuff coming at me, and I really didn't like it, and starting to get involved in reaction. And then he said, that's when I knew I had to really take a resolution, determine, that's the word he used. I made a determination to have confidence in awareness. And that was really very inspiring to me. Resolution, determination, it's a specific quality of mind. It's a mental factor that we can actually experience, just like, and it's neutral, because you could have a determination to do something unwholesome. So it's ethically neutral, depending what the determination is. But it's a quality of mind that's just, like you could say, it's like the Nike thing, just do it. But without aversion or judgment, but, oh, instead of flopping around, and maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. Oh, it'd be nice to trust in awareness, but, you know, stuff's kind of hard right now, and whatever it is. Just do it. It's a sense of, in a moment, it's not forever, just a moment of kind of stability. Aditana is the word in Pali. It means resolution. So when he said, I made a determination, he was tuning into that mental quality in his mind, which we all can, but we often don't think to notice it. And it's not a greed or aversion. Just take refuge in awareness. And that's really what we're practicing here. So when something difficult or beautiful is going on, and we feel all involved in it, taking refuge in awareness is like, almost opening to the experience more, but just let the awareness in. We don't create it, just let it in. And I find just remembering that again and again, the whole experience is, say, it's all inclusive. Because awareness isn't me. In a moment of just receptive awareness, there's not Carol identifying or with anything, or say, then it's my awareness that's different, and you can feel the difference, right? It's not, but when it's just receptive awareness, everything's just happening. You're not trying to name it, you know what's happening. The feelings are there, but it's a completely, well, it's just a different way of being, as I'm sure you all know. And it's nothing we can create with an act of will. I'm sure we've all spent plenty of time trying, and we still will. What we can do is set up the willingness to receive awareness, and then just keep on setting up that willingness. And it seems to come, you know, it just comes and then it goes. But the more we are willing to have that confidence, the more we are willing to see, to trust, how steady awareness actually begins to, it releases the particular tangle when it's seen accurately. The tangle just releases. It's nothing we do personally. That's wisdom. Wisdom does the work. The more and more we recognize when that happens. And it's happening all the time. So we said today, you know, we just entering into the world, seeing your mind create the worlds, entering into it, it falls apart and we enter into another world. Like someone said today, I hope you don't mind, you said in the question period, but it was so perfect. I'm the best yogi, it's the whole world. And then the next day, I'm the worst yogi, it's the whole world. You're not the only one, right? And we totally believe each world. And then there's, you know, the world of our memories and this and that, and then we're bumping into other people, and thank God we're not talking. That's one of the reasons we don't have talking on retreats, you know. And other people are in their world, but if they met you on the world that you thought you were just, you know, God's gift to humankind, and you're talking to them, you know, that's who they think you are. Then the next day they're going to relate to you because that's who you think you are. But that day you're no longer God's gift to humankind. You're a worm who doesn't deserve to live on the face of the earth, you know. But they don't know that. And they're going through their different worlds too. And we're trying to have like a society here. And we wonder why things are confused. Sidetracking here. Okay. I personally actually really enjoy, I love actually, when there's enough awareness to receive, to see how in a particular experience the sense of me is arising and functioning, and how it is when that goes away. Because it comes and goes, it's just another world. There's not one me that we have to see through. It's just another world. All aspects of the teaching, all aspects of the Buddhist teaching are working to, quote, purify our hearts and minds, transform the habits. But the deepest transformation is through this element of wisdom. And so, you know, remember, I'm sure many of you know this quote from Shantideva, one of the Dalai Lama's favorite quotes, apparently, but it's like, All the happiness I experience comes from wanting other people to be happy. All the suffering I experience comes from wanting only myself to be happy. And it's easy to hear that as a should, you know, how we should be. But I want to say, I've just been not even playing with it, but just noticing sometimes in little moments how that's actually a literal description, and how when there's not that sense of referring it all back to me, the quality of heart and mind that comes out in a situation is actually a sense of happiness, whatever wholesome quality. To a simple little example I noticed last year. I was just sitting, I was at home, and I guess I heard or read something I must have been listening to news or the radio. I don't even know what. But somebody had done some nice, good thing. And it landed in a moment when in my mind, heart was caught in a world of you're not so good, in a world of the very familiar self-judgment, right? So kind of, knew it was there, but not the confidence and awareness, just the kind of, okay, I know it's there, but it was coloring. So the good thing, whatever the person did, I was hurt, and the immediate reaction was, why didn't I think to do that, right? Thinking it was a good thing, why? And so right away, it's all about me. This good thing happens all about me, and it's suffering, you know? It's not a happy all about me. Then later, I wasn't thinking, I was just watching. Awareness was just watching that. I guess I heard another thing. It was different. I wasn't thinking or trying to redo that experience. But I heard another good thing, or it was a similar, whatever. And at that time, it was just an awareness, and that other stuff wasn't there. And the immediate response was, isn't that wonderful? I felt so happy for the person, and just so happy in general for that good thing to happen. That's mudita, appreciative joy. It just naturally came, not thinking I should have it, had nothing to do with me. So when there's not the reference point present in the mind, the beautiful qualities come out. So just noticing when that happens, not clinging. I mean, it's gone. Of course, we cling. That's the next thing. But in terms of our steady awareness here, of course we notice when the difficulties are there. It's sort of like Alexis was saying today, you kind of see something like this anyway. You kind of feel, I think he said it. If you didn't, I'm sorry. You're feeling some difficulty, and often that's like a little sign. You know, it helps us bring awareness back in. Actually, Anam Tupten talks about that as a smoke signal for awareness, a smoke alarm for awareness. When you start to feel just a little discomfort in your body or mind, it's like, bring in awareness again. But it's equally, notice first when the difficulty goes, we go, okay, nice, maybe space out. Notice the calm or the happiness or the mudita or the compassion. Really important to let the awareness stay steady. Notice the whole thing. And so that little example with mudita, I've been noticing things like that more and more. That was a little one. Sometimes, well, this is only personal, it's different for everybody. But sometimes, say, not listening to the news, but certain, I mean, there's, you know, plenty of suffering in the news. And you really have to titrate how, pay attention to how much the heart and mind can take in before you're just going into a sinkhole, you know. And that's not out of avoidance, but it's like we're always refreshing the awareness so we can open to what's happening. That's in our daily life, not different from retreat. But I notice when I'm hearing something, and it's difficult, and I'm in a me space. It's like, either I can't stand it, or I think I shouldn't have this privilege because so many people are suffering, which I can feel that often. But there's other times when there's not the me and the same tuning into something really painful or difficult, and we get plenty of chances to practice with this, but I'm not practicing, it just happens. And there's not the me and the pain lands, you feel. This is when awareness can open to the suffering, the dukkha, without any me story about it. And it's just natural that some sense the connectedness comes up. I mean, I'm saying this, but it's just, wow, that's so hard, you know? So many people like that. And it's not, that's just a natural response of compassion. That's what's available when the me-ing isn't there. Please don't take the sense of seeing that there's a lot of sense of me personally or that you're doing something wrong. So I say, I love watching it because it's just a deeply rooted habit based in the misperception that somehow we're a separate being, separate from other things and ongoing, you know, that there's no changing nature. That's the perception, you know, again and again and again. With steady awareness, you'll see, even though it feels like a steady me, it's changing all the time. Like Thanissara said, all these different worlds. It's a different me, a happy me, a sad me, this thought, that thought, what you're calling me might be a sensation. So just get interested, exploring it. I just wanted to go a little bit, just a little bit different direction in terms of describing the misperception of sense of separate self. Just, you know, you probably know how Thich Nhat Hanh always talked about it, but since, again, he did die a couple of months ago, and I used to read and study with him a lot, and I hadn't for quite some time. And then I went back and I said I was watching videos, little short videos of him, and just reminded of, like, sometimes it sounded like the way he described stuff almost too simplistic or too nice or something, but there's actually a real depth of reality in it. So I just wanted to share a couple that I'd written. So he always talks about, did talk about, emptiness, which is the empty of a separate self, is really full of everything, right? You know, if you've heard him at all, he would say a flower is nothing separate, it's full of the whole cosmos, right? You can't have a flower without the sun, without the oxygen, without the earth, without the earthworms. How did the earth get here? It's like geological time that, you know, the rocks ground down over millions of years, and where did they come from, the universe? And it just goes on and on and on. You can't separate anything out. And I liked he was describing a human. As a human, you're full of your ancestors, the parents, the cells of your parents, back and back and back. Also, all animals, minerals, plants. You take away any of these, humans can't exist. So there's no way anything can really be separate from everything else. Okay, it's intellectual when we talk about it, but really, at times, that's really what we're saying. Not that you have to think that way, but it's a misperception that somehow we're absolutely separate. I found this note. I don't know who sent it to me, a couple of years ago. Maybe someone here. I don't know. It's unsigned. But I just saw it today. I thought, oh, that's kind of sweet. I still only think about myself, but now I am the world. Delightful. I thought that was kind of sweet. Anyway. And so how do we continue to discover this emptiness, this fullness, this how do we perceive, in a way? This is Thich Nhat Hanh, but it's the same thing. It's back to, he's talking now about the kingdom of God, but he just means recognizing reality, freedom. It's available 24 hours a day. The problem is whether we are available to know this, or are we lost in the past, in the future, in wanting, in aversion? So with mindfulness, this is still Thich Nhat Hanh, we're fully present in the here and now, fully alive in the here and now, just one in-breath, no hard labor. Really, that simple, just one in-breath, no hard labor. We're fully alive in the here and now. And so another thing, you just might, you know, have a little thing to recognize with awareness. We all have moments, many moments a day, where there's this simplicity of unentangled knowing, the steady awareness he's talking about, present in the here and now. Just a moment. You know, maybe you could be doing anything. Drinking tea, looking at the sunset, having pain in your leg, it could be anything. But where it's just completely this, and you may know other things going on, and there's no self-reflection about it. There's no, what does it mean about me? There's no, I'm experiencing this, although that might arise in the next moment. And it's not like big lights going off. It's just this. 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 But just let that start to come in. Start to notice the alternate perception. And the more the awareness gets steady, the more accurate perceptions can arise. The tangle, like the little story about the music, As soon as you see it, drops away. More complicated ones do too. I mean, many people here, do you describe some big storm that was going on and then you see somehow different and it drops away completely? That's what's going on all the time. So learning just really the willingness to have confidence and awareness. And that allows us to open into what's happening. And the more we do that, also the real trust that being with the beautiful, really important to recognize that, recognize the wholesome. But then we are less afraid to be with the difficult because we really start to understand that opens us into the sense of us all being in this together as well. You know, the compassion naturally comes. I think that's all I want to say. I thought there was some rule. Oh yeah, I just like this from the Dalai Lama. He says, every morning I reflect on the truth of interdependence, that nothing exists as it appears. Nothing is separate, but all arising from connected conditions. And this understanding naturally gives rise to compassion for all the beings suffering from being in this confusion. So the steady awareness has the power to really change our understanding in amazing ways. So let's have confidence in awareness quietly for a while. May all the wholesome energies arising from all of our practice together, all of us here in this room, from our sincere intentions throughout the day, may all this wholesome energy be not for ourselves alone, but may we share it with all beings everywhere. May our practice truly be a cause for beings to be safe and protected. May all beings be free from fear. May all beings live with wisdom and know compassion. Thank you all for your sincere Dhamma energy, for being here together. So continuing awareness in whatever posture, whatever mode feels the most supportive for you to refresh the awareness, whether it's walking or having tea, going outside, come back to the next sitting if that seems appropriate, or do whatever. Whatever supports awareness, going to sleep, if that supports awareness. Just trusting that. And thank you all.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.